most of you know, those of you that are not, or that are guests, you may not know this, but for 7.5 years, I served as the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and I preached on this gospel all the time. And the focus of that preaching was really rooted in the idea of the sense of our need to pray that the harvest master may send laborers into the harvest, that we need men and women to offer their lives for service to the church. And that certainly is very much the case, and I do believe that that is something that we need to hear when we listen to the gospel reading today. But that sense of a particular purpose and a particular call in our readings as we gather together this weekend is something that really very much extends to the totality of the church, to all of us. All of us are called in a particular way to proclaim the good news of Christ, to help bring in the harvest, to be an instrument of God's action in the world. And every one of our readings has that sense to it. In our first reading, we're told that the people of Israel, not because they deserved anything, not because they did anything in particular, but that somehow, for some reason, God selected them to be a holy people. Not because they were particularly good or particularly special, but he set them aside and set them aside for a purpose. And that purpose was to be an image and a witness of God's own work and God's own action in the world. That they were to be a people gathered as one of his own so that others, somehow encountering them, witnessing them, seeing them, would come to know God's act of salvation. As he says in the first reading, all the world belongs to me. But I still set you aside for a particular purpose, to be a witness, a sign, an instrument of the salvation that I offer to all people. In our second reading, we hear that the people of God, not because they're good, frankly, are chosen among the sinful, to nevertheless witness to the salvation that God offers because of their own experience of healing and salvation in their own lives. And that comes back to us as well. That as a Christian people, we are called fundamentally as a chosen people to witness to what it is that God desires for all people, all nations. That we are a people of joy and life and thanksgiving in a manner that is attractive, that draws other people into what it is that God really desires for them. God desires life for all of his creation. God desires life for all that he has brought into this world. And yet we as a Christian people have been given a particular task as the church to witness to what that life looks like. To be a people of joy, to be a people that speaks of God's goodness in our lives, to be a people that strives to be charitable even as we call others to truth and call others to salvation. What strikes me about all three readings is even as we hear that that's our vocational call, there's also a strong sense within all of our readings that the beginning of that is not something that we accomplish. It's not because we've earned it. It's not because we're particularly good at anything that we do at all, but it's because of God's creative act from the beginning. And so we're told in our first reading that as the Lord called Moses up on the mountain, he begins by saying, I'm the one that called you out of the land of Egypt. Look at what happened to the Egyptians. I did that. I am the one that formed you and saved you and walked with you. We hear in our second reading what I consider one of the most beautiful statements that St. Paul says, is that while we were still sinners, while we were enemies, while we were far away from the Lord, that is the moment that God chose to come into our lives and save us. Not because of all the great things that we accomplished. A person that is well has no need of a physician. No, while we were still sinners, God came to us, called us, saved us, and made us his own. We're told in our gospel reading that Jesus looks at crowds that gather around him, and he has pity on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. There's no one to lead them. They're lost. And because of that experience, he chooses to enter into their lives and bring them hope, to guide them, to draw them, to call them. And that it's in that experience of call, of being chosen, of the experience of salvation, of mercy, of forgiveness, that we are made a people of God's own. And it's out of that that we find our vocation. That we've made a people that God has chosen. Not because I earned it, not because I'm good at it, not because of all the things that I accomplish in my life. But somehow in the mystery of God's own love, he nevertheless sets us aside as a community of faith, as a people to witness to the world what it is that God can do. And I'd like to suggest that some degree the authenticity of our ability to talk about what God can do grows out of the experience of, well, this is what God did for me. This is who I was in my sickness, in my brokenness, in my sin. And yet God still chose me and calls me. My brothers and sisters, all of us, it's easy, like I said, to hear these readings and focus in on a few that are chosen, sent, and called. But the Lord's words are really intended for the whole church. And all of us are called to witness to the work of God in the world and to bring in the harvest. And there's times that we may question whether the harvest is really abundant, but we're still called to labor. And that call to labor is a call that belongs to each and every one of us. Whether we are dedicated to a particular name ministry or not, whether that simply has to do with what we do day in and day out, or something that we're particularly focused on, whether that has to do with the life that we've embraced in a particular way, or whether that's just a general way in which we are open to being an instrument of God's salvation in the lives of others. All of us carry within us that vocation, that invitation, that call to be an instrument in the salvation of the lives of others. We have to be committed to that. If we don't strive to do that in our day-to-day lives, then I think we really have to wrestle with, well, what does it mean for us to be a Christian people? On the other hand, if we are going to be a people that lives that out day in and day out, week in and week out, then I think that also means that we have to be a people that remembers what it is that Jesus has done for us. How we've been forgiven, how we've been changed, how we needed, and God loved us in our need, how it is that we've been summoned, and how it is that we've been sent. It's important for us to take time to remember what it is that God does. Because if it's just about what it is that we do, then it's not worth doing. We have to be rooted in what it is that God does. To remember the way he's touched us, changed us, forgiven us, called us, and brought us to a dignity that allows us to speak to the hearts of others that needs to hear. When we talk about the Eucharist, there are a few terms that are always associated with the celebration of that Eucharist, or with the experience of the Eucharist that we do here. One is Eucharistia itself, the act of thanksgiving, of giving thanks to God. One is Epiklesis, which Deacon Russ spoke of last weekend, in which the Holy Spirit is called down upon what it is that we do on the altar, as well as us. And the third is a Greek word called anamnesis, which is the act of remembering. And the Eucharistic prayer is an act of anamnesis, of remembering. And by remembering, making present what it is that we remember. I'd like to suggest that our ability to be witnesses in our world, as well as our ability to be rooted in what it is that God has done to us, ultimately finds its foundation here, in remembering what it is that God has done with us, in remembering how it is that God calls us. And that as we remember that, what it is that we remember is made present to us in a manner that allows us to be one that, according to Christ's command, can go out and proclaim what it is that Christ calls us to proclaim. To be an instrument of his salvation, the life of the world, to be joyful and trusting in what it is that God does, and in doing all of that, to welcome others into the great mystery of love that God invites all humanity and all of creation to encounter. Amen.